Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg, and today we are on episode number 12, and we're going to be talking about what guidance looks like in the Christian life. So I wanted to start off with this, discussing this bedrock truth that is really important, and that is that we as people, as creatures made in God's image, are important and significant in God's plan. And so how does this idea that is seen in Scripture help shape our view of guidance?
Guidance is such a big question. Because it has to do with our whole sense of security and significance. You know, security, and it, you know, you make decisions every day, and they all have implications. Am I making the right decisions? Huge question for human beings. The second is, what you're talking about there is so absolutely essential in our day. A person who belongs to Jesus Christ immediately becomes eternally significant, and what they do becomes eternally significant. That must have been, you think about that for a first century church. A large portion of them were slaves. Slaves in the Roman Empire had a very low standing. They had no control over their life. They were regarded as second rate, totally insignificant. And now they become a Christian. And even in that situation where they could not control their life, they are now part of the program of God. Their life counts. It will count eternally. What they are involved in counts eternally. And that becomes important in our own day. And it's one of the reasons I have such a big concern about this subject, is because with the collapse of society, which has happened, the lack of direction, people have no direction. We come to a place where the society is throwing off all the mores, the standards of the past, down to even the most ridiculous of situations. They're throwing it all off. That puts people in a place where they don't know who they are, and they don't know what they are, and they don't have a sense of significance. They don't have a sense that they count, and they're desperately trying to find it. And the ways that they go about it indicates their desperation. But that's not true for a Christian. A Christian's a person who counts. God has a plan for them and a purpose for them. And immediately when you become a Christian, you become a person with a purpose. And that becomes just terribly important in securing and enlivening for our existence. Yeah.
How do we, what is that? Where do we find that in Scripture, I guess is my question.
Well, it's found in some senses directly and indirectly. And we do have to face the fact that we're talking about the will of God and guidance and all of these kinds of questions. The church is divided in its opinion of how this all works out. Although it's not really so divided, it is one of those places where I think, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, the divisions are over ways of expressing things rather than on fundamental issues. So we ask, how do I find that I'm significant? Well, the Bible indicates that through the pictures, you know, what are we? We are members of a body. Members of a body. And the whole picture there is that God has placed a person in the body for a particular purpose. That's the whole, we put a lot of emphasis on the gifts themselves in those passages, such as in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. We think about the gifts, but the point is that every member of that body is significant. The idea that you are a child of God, that gets lost a little bit in our own society, because in American society, a child is raised to leave. That's just you're being taught by your parents. Then you go out and you have your own life. And that life typically is not terribly closely related to your parents.
Yeah.
It's an independent existence. That was not true in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, the family worked as clans. That fact that you were in a family, that's, you would be in the family business. Peter was a fisherman because his father was a fisherman. Same with John and James. They were doing the family business. That defined your life, the fact that you were in there. So a picture like that, it wouldn't make sense to a person in the Roman Empire that there was no importance. The moment you're in the family, you're important. And everybody in the family participated in the family business. And you could, whether it's the bride, all those different pictures point to that, right? Paul in another place says that we were saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, he says. But we are his workmanship, created for good works, which he prepared beforehand. We should walk in them. This idea that God has a plan for you. That is going to be worked out for his glory. And then you get the things such as, and I realize they are apostles, but still, there's nothing about this which is geared to their apostleship. The Lord could tell Peter, there's a day when you're going to die a martyr's death. He could explain that because it was planned. It was part of the purpose. And he could say to John, okay, it's not going to happen that way, although he knows. The Lord knows. So there are a number of ways, but they're all indirect. It doesn't ever just say, you know, here's the purpose, but it's in an indirect way. The scripture is real clear that God has a purpose. Then the question comes as we then look at that, what is that purpose and how do we find that purpose? How do we explain that purpose?
Going back to the security thing, we talked beforehand about the Lord is our good shepherd and he guides us. And I think that's right. I think where we're kind of headed. Can you talk about that and what that means in the discussion on guidance?
Yeah. And I think again, for myself, that is the fundamental part. When I was first Christian, it was a big question. I'm 21 years old. I have all the major decisions of life ahead of me, right? And I wanted to do the will of God. Right? And that was put into me as I've been born again of the Spirit of God. You want to do God's will. What is the nature of that will? And I was very nervous about it because I still had to make, ahead of me were marriage decisions, but also career decisions. What was I going to do? I was already committed to, just my own heart. I already believed that I wanted to spend my life serving the Lord in what would be a full-time service, but that could be a lot of different things. And so the question of how was I going to get to the right place was important to me. And I spent some nervous days thinking about that. Finally, This is a long story short. Finally, I come to this conclusion. I am going to leave the responsibility for me fulfilling the purpose of God on the shoulders of the shepherd. Yeah, I was thinking about it. Sheep are pretty stupid. A shepherd is great. There's no comparison between sheep and the shepherd. Sheep get into the right pasture because the shepherd takes them. And even if they have trouble, if they get wayward, a shepherd still shepherds them because they're his sheep, right? And that if I was going to know guidance and was going to know security in life, I would have to put the responsibility for accomplishing the purpose of God finally on the Lord. I have a part, but I don't want to take the part of being the guide. And I think that's one place a lot of Christians get nervous. They take the responsibility of hearing the voice of God and responding so seriously and so deeply that they forget that they're dumb sheep and a shepherd loves them. Yeah. And they will end up where God wants them to be if they keep their heart right.
Yeah.
Because shepherd will, he'll take them there.
Yeah.
And that the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that guides me into the green pastures. He's the one that, you know, puts me in the still waters.
There's that story with that Mr. Carroll used to talk about the lady who is the missionary in Japan or in, I think she was in China. And her favorite verse was, Isaiah 9:6,
right,
putting the government
right
on the shoulders of the Lord. And so in that story, anyways, they ran out of soap at their
right
missions agency or with all the orphans. And so in it, she gathers the staff and she prays and she's like, Lord, we commit it to you. We put it on your right shoulder. And then, but the hardest part is like leaving it there because you right can't take it back with
right
you.
Yeah.
Because when you commit it to the Lord, you have to trust him that he'll provide. And then anyways, a soap merchant comes and they get the soap, but it guidance and trust go hand in hand.
Right.
And that is really important, is that when we submit to the Lord and we put it on his shoulders as the good shepherd, we have to leave it there
right
in his hands.
Yeah. And that becomes so important because, when I was I'm 21 and I'm making big decisions. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take very long in life before there aren't big decisions to make anymore.
Yeah.
Life starts closing in on you. I mean, you've already made the decision. Now you have to live with it. Mm-hmm. And so much of life is out of our control. Mm-hmm. We can't make decisions about it. It's back to that slave. Okay. He's a slave who's converted. You say, well, you need to know what the will of God is. He doesn't need to know what the will of God is. He has no chance to change the course. And this is the beauty of it all, that in that place where he is in essence trapped and controlled by human beings, and some of them, of course, would be evil human beings, mm-hmm, he still can do the will of God, and he's still significant, but he has no control over it. So that verse is very important. If I leave the government in the Lord's hands, and don't try to take it to myself to direct my life. I mean, how much control do we have over our life?
Yeah.
We don't have control over our health. We don't have control over the economy. We don't have control over the government. We don't have control over the guys that are on the street. They could, I mean, I don't have control over it. Lord does. If I learn to put the government on his shoulders, it'll be peaceable.
Yeah.
It'll be peaceable in following him. So it's just extremely important. We get all the details of how does God guide, but first thing is the shepherd takes care of you.
Yeah.
And you have to know that. And he has a purpose in taking care of you. Mm-hmm. And even my mistakes won't change that purpose.
Yeah.
That is, I believe that God has a particular plan for my life. But when we think about that particular plan, we can't think of it as a situation like I'm going to give you directions to Atlanta, mm-hmm, so that if I make a mistake somewhere along the line on that, it's irrecoverable. Yep. Now I'm going on the wrong path.
Yep.
And this comes to some people that get nervous that, hey, if I made a mistake today, even in a major area, does that cut me out of this? Well, if it's sin and you go into sin, that cuts you out. But if you just make a mistake, mm-hmm, false step, picture the word of God, whichever takes you back around.
Yeah.
Everybody makes false steps. Mm-hmm. If we had to do it right, nobody would get there. So that's important to me because there'll be times where people will think in terms of, you know, I've heard that Mr. Carey used to give an illustration about a man who felt that way. He felt that God had called him at the very beginning of his life to be a missionary. And he decided not to go that route and do something else. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a sinful thing. It was just he didn't become a missionary. And he believed that he had completely stepped out of the will of God. And he was. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of appeals to our lazy nature. Mm-hmm. If I make a mistake, I still have a responsibility to fulfill the purpose of God. There's a whole lot that I can do even with a mistake.
Yeah.
And I just have to do the right thing.
And we can often, well, you were saying like some people believe like I married the wrong person or I got the wrong right. job or I didn't go into right. missions or whatever it is down the line. And so then their life no longer counts because they right. made this mistake way back in the beginning. But ultimately, even if it was a mistake, which actually probably wasn't, but they, it's a part of God's ultimate plan for your right. life. And that mistake or that step, however you view it, is still part of his plan for your right. life. And right. so, and that's important to realize because in that you still have value and you're important and your life matters.
Amen.
And
Amen.
All of that down the line. So, do you think how in, well, let's put it this way, where in the New Testament do we see examples of guidance?
And okay. I think with the, there's a big, big question we should think of. We go into the guidance issue that mm-hmm. comes out of what we just said.
Okay.
Ultimately, 99.9% of what we need to be is in the Word.
Yeah.
What we really need to do is follow the Word in the actual circumstances we're living. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the problems with guidance, and we get all caught up with guidance, is it does tend to focus us on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. It tends to focus on tomorrow. And you can't live out there. That's where people do. They live out. Life is happening right now. Life is happening, as we've said many times here, yeah. between us right now. This is when it's taking place. What I have to be right now is everything it says right here in whatever circumstance I am.
Yeah.
So when we get to specific guidances, I mean, it tells us that the Spirit of God leads, and there's different general statements. But when we look in the book of Acts at the actual, this is New Testament. I think New Testament characters being guided. We find out that in the book of Acts, there aren't very many expressions or instances, not expressions, instances of guidance beyond just doing what the will of God is, which is recorded in the Word. It's about a 40-year period, 35, 40 years. Of history, and there's maybe a dozen acts of guidance. And it's significant to me, because I'm trying to look, I want to be biblical on my concept here. It's significant that no one who got guidance was seeking guidance. It wasn't as if they didn't know what to do and they asked God, which way should I go? Not saying they didn't do that, but they were already on a path, and God says, go a different path. Mm-hmm. Take Philip. Okay, Philip, and it's important I bring up Philip because sometimes we think that it's taught that the guidance issues of Acts are specifically for the apostles, but that doesn't hold up. Philip was not this is the Philip, which was one of the seven that was chosen to take care of the widows. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's out preaching in Samaria, and he's preaching away and having a good time. Then God says, now I want you to go down, do this. Mm-hmm. He wasn't asked. He had a ministry, he had a full-time ministry, which was very successful. Mm-hmm. And God tells him to go somewhere else. All right. Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch building a church, and they were in a prayer meeting. And God says to them, while they are fully engaged in building, helping this church get established, he says to them, or says to that whole group, I want you to separate Paul and Barnabas for separate work. And so they take off on that work. Paul and Barnabas are ministering in Asia Minor. Paul's in Asia Minor, I'm not sure exactly here. But the Spirit of God says, don't go this direction. Go this direction. And you have the Macedonian call. But he was already fully engaged in ministry, and he was already going a direction. And the thing that the Spirit forbade him is what it says. Mm-hmm. It's, he put a stop sign up there. But he's stopping an action. Mm-hmm. These guys weren't sitting there wondering what to do. They were doing what God had told them to do as best they understood it. And then God says, okay, I want you to do it this way instead of that way. So the instances of guidance are fairly, they're fairly rare. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many times in between, but the way they're presented it's presented as if this was almost an unusual circumstance. This wasn't the common thing. Mm-hmm. So now, does God guide us on day by day? Yes, he does. But that involves principles that we need to think about. How is it that we can be led by the Spirit of God in the today? Mm-hmm. But those were men who were... Again, one of the things that I would encourage people, if they want no guidance, is do what you know to do in the circumstances you actually are in.
Yeah.
If I do what I'm supposed to do, don't sit down and just wait for tomorrow. You're in a church today, serve in that church. You've got a family today. Be to them what you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then it's in that place that the guidance comes.
Hmm. That's good. One more question before I think we're going to be splitting this podcast into two, and we're going to do this last question, and then we'll jump into the next podcast, like maybe five or six principles for kind of guidance in practical life. But the last question I want to ask is, here's my question. Have you ever heard God spoke to you or speak to you, and how would you encourage, like, would you use that kind of language in regards to your Christian life?
Well, this is a question which...
Because it is a debatable question.
Yeah, it does. There's a debate here in among Christians, and it's a vocabulary issue, I think. Okay. So, from what I've just said, I do believe that biblically there are times when God gives you particular direction. And I could say, but I won't go over them, but I've had that happen to me in my life, I think about three times. They always had to do with critical moments. All right. There was a point in which I wanted to go into missions, and I believe God wanted me to stay here at this school. And he had to direct me to do that. And I'm not going to go into how. I'm just going to say that I believed that I had a particular direction which became an anchor. Okay, I'm going to go this instead of that.
Because the experience is not so much the important issue.
No, because if you describe how this happened, then somebody wants to reproduce the experience.
Yeah, that's not the important.
There was another point in the ministry here when I was at a crucial question. What was I going? Which way was I going to go with certain things? And it really had a big deal with regards to the whole work. And in an unusual way, when I wasn't really asking for it, God came in and met me. Okay, I'm just going to put it that way. And I would say then he spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I don't use it on a daily basis because I don't agree with the idea that God told me to, you know, drink coffee instead of tea this morning. I don't think there's any biblical warrant for saying that God speaks to me about the details of life on that level. All right. Mm-hmm. Aside. But most of our thinking, we'll go into this in our next podcast, is how do we get that guidance? Well, the Bible is 99.9% of it.
Yeah.
It's doing this every day. It's living the way this is and staying with it. Now, if I keep pouring the Word of God into my soul, I keep doing that, and I keep realizing that the Lord is with me, the Spirit of God is there, and I keep asking Him to guide me. I do that on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Guide me, show me, teach me. And then I look at a circumstance and I come to a conclusion on the basis of what the Bible says about how I should live, that this is where I go. Is God speaking to me? Yeah, I think he is. Is he guiding me? Do I think God guides me every day? Yes, I do believe that. Mm-hmm. Because I ask him to, and I count on it. Do I have an experience of being told, you know, go this way, go that way, you know? No. Mm-hmm. But I do count on this is a biblical principle, and that this would be the wise way. Because so many decisions we make in life are neutral. They're completely neutral.
Yeah.
If it's a matter of right and wrong, the Word of God's crystal clear on that. But should I live in this city or that city is not, that's a neutral question. There's no right place to live and wrong place to live. So I have to look at that on other bases. And that's where, but I can't go to just a verse for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I have to have a concept of what the plan of God is and how it works out, which depends on me spending time studying that word and staying with it and getting and allowing the spirit of that word to become the spirit of my mind. That's what I believe the renewing of my mind is. Mm-hmm. So I become like the Lord in humility, but I become like the Lord in his purpose to preach the gospel to all people and all the rest of it. So because of the excesses that I see in some where, you know, they're calling everything the will of God. They say, the Lord spoke to me. Well, and it was a problem I ran into earlier in my Christian life because I met people that, okay, God speak to me. But then I ran into those kinds of things. The Lord spoke to me and told me he wanted me to lose weight. And then they don't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going like,
yeah,
brother, sister, whoever it is, if he spoke to you, he took the time to say that, really, you should be doing that.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it became very casual. And I'm not casual about it because if God says something to me, again, in those couple type situations where he did say something to me, he said it because in the future I was going to have to stick with it. Yeah. He told me to, again, I won't say how, but I knew I was to stay here. Mm-hmm. There was a point in time about 3 or 4 years later where I was so, God was working on me and I was so frustrated, I was ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And I didn't leave. The reason I didn't leave was because the Lord reminded me of what he said at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, he takes me back to that. In the second case, that decision was going to involve hardships, difficulties, painful situations.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go this route, there's going to be a lot of pain in this. I have to know that when I'm facing the difficulties that arise out of this decision, that I can persevere through it. I had to have that to be able to persevere through things that looked like they weren't working and trust God in them. Mm-hmm. But I had to know I was doing the right thing at the beginning, or else I could easily have made a different decision. But that doesn't happen on every count. So I am fully aware that there are people saying, no, that God doesn't speak that way. All you need to do is follow the word. And I'm not that far from them. Mm-hmm. Not that far. I don't believe they're right, but I don't believe that's biblical. But if all you do is exactly what it says, you aren't going to be far if you do everything.
Yeah.
If you do everything that it says and you keep with it, you'll be guided. Mm. I think.
Yeah.
You know, you'll make that's the right decisions when you make those random decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So
it's encouraging. So to recap, some of the big points that we highlighted were that you are significant, we are significant. Amen. In God's plan, and that's important, and we can always rest on that. You don't make a mistake that puts you outside of the will of God for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And also that trust and guidance go hand in hand, and that he is the good shepherd that leads us. So Amen. I think those are some of the big things, hopefully can encourage you. Next week, we're going to be talking about some principles in which you can look to for guidance. And until then, you can follow along on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and we'll see you next week. May the Lord bless you. Until then.